This is EVC Dispatches, AI Voices, our editorial script. Here's some background before we get into it. A team of researchers just posted a study on a site called SciArchive, where scientists share papers before they go through formal review, testing what happens when people use ChatGPT to answer questions. 700 participants split evenly. Half had the tool, half didn't. The group with ChatGPT got less accurate and, at the same time, far more certain of their answers. Aura is our human consequences editor, and the piece is out today. Aura, before we talk about what the numbers mean, what's the one finding that stopped you?
The I don't know number. Before people used ChatGPT, 44% of participants were willing to say they didn't know the answer. After using it, that dropped to 3%. That's the one I keep returning to.
And that's not the same as saying ChatGPT gave them wrong answers.
That's exactly the misdirection I want to head off. The study, it's titled Using ChatGPT for Advice Tanks Your Accuracy and Makes You Feel More Certain About It, posted mid-July by the three researchers Chiara Marcoccia, Valerio Capraro, and Walter Quattrociocchi. It's not primarily pointing at the model's error rate. It's really about what shifts inside the person who used it. They walked away with worse answers than they'd have produced alone, and they felt more certain than before they asked.
Okay, and the accuracy numbers, what were they?
Accuracy fell from 27% to 9% in the ChatGPT group, and high confidence responses went from 30% to 76%. So you've got accuracy going down, certainty going up, and people who would have said, I don't know, basically stopping doing that altogether.
Walk me through what the study actually looked like. Who were these 700 people? What were they being asked?
It's a randomized experiment. 700 participants split evenly. Half got ChatGPT for advice, half didn't. The paper hasn't been peer-reviewed yet. It's a preprint on SciArchive, posted the 14th of July, 2026. So we hold that lightly. But the design is clean enough to take seriously.
Right, and someone tried to fix it with money.
Yes, and this is the part that really landed for me. They paid some participants for correct answers to see if the confidence accuracy gap was basically laziness. People not trying hard enough. Accuracy in that condition, the incentivized one, only reached 16%. You're still less accurate than the group that never touched ChatGPT. You can't just incentivize your way out of this.
Hang on, so you're saying the cash didn't fix it?
Barely moved it. 16 versus 9. Which tells you this isn't a laziness problem. Something else is happening.
So what is happening? Because my instinct, and I use these tools every day, is that the problem is just that ChatGPT gives wrong answers and people trust it. Why is that the wrong frame?
It's the frame almost everyone reaches for. And I think it misses the specific harm. The harm isn't that the machine produced a wrong answer. The harm is what happened to the human's own sense of uncertainty after they consulted it. There's a signal. I'd call it an internal wobble. The feeling that tells you to hedge, to check, to admit you might be off. That signal is, you know, basically how we catch our own mistakes. In this study, it went away.
So the I don't know response is, it's not just an admission of ignorance, it's a kind of useful thing.
It's the thing you need working. Saying I don't know means you've accurately assessed your own ignorance. That's calibration, when your confidence tracks your actual accuracy. What this study seems to show is that ChatGPT disrupts that match. People come out more certain and less right, which is kind of the worst possible combination.
Okay, but let me push on the study itself for a second. The baseline accuracy was 27%. That's already pretty low. Isn't it possible this is just a story about a tool being bad at a specific set of hard questions that people were already struggling with?
That's a fair challenge, and I want to take it seriously. Task selection is a real issue with this kind of experiment. But here's the precise version of what I'd push back on. The I don't know finding doesn't depend on the task being hard or easy in a particular way. A drop from 44% to 3% is not a number that lives only at the extremes. That's a near total collapse of a cognitive posture. And it sits alongside, there's a growing body of work on what researchers call cognitive offloading, which is basically what happens to your own thinking when you hand a mental task to an external tool. The direction across that literature points the same way.
So the GPS parallel. People who use turn-by-turn navigation and lose the ability to read a map.
Exactly that pattern. You offload the task, and over time, the underlying capacity it replaced starts to atrophy. What's different here, though, and this is, I think, the thing that matters. With GPS, you lose spatial reasoning, but you don't become more confident in your wrong directions. Here, the confidence goes up while the accuracy goes down. The offloading doesn't just weaken the skill. It seems to disable the warning light that would tell you the skill had weakened.
Okay, let me hold all of that together and see if I've got the thread. The finding isn't just that AI tools make mistakes. It's that after you've used one, you stop being able to feel unsure. And that feeling of unsureness is actually what error correction runs on. That's the thing at stake. Fair?
Pretty much, yeah. With one emphasis I'd add. Marcocha, Capraro, and Quattrociocchi are making a specific claim, which is that the harm isn't the AI's error rate. It's that using it appears to disable the part of human judgment that knows when to distrust itself. Those are two different problems with two different fixes. Most of the policy conversation right now is aimed at the first one.
Right. And you put it in the piece as the most consequential thing AI is doing to its users right now may not be replacing their judgment. It may be quietly disabling the part of their judgment that knows when to distrust itself.
That's the claim. And I think if you take it seriously, it changes where you look for the damage.
Where do you look?
You look at the places where confident wrong answers land hardest. Not where errors get caught, where they don't. Think about a patient navigating symptoms between appointments, using a chatbot to work out whether they need to call their GP. The person on the other end, the doctor, is seeing them for 8 minutes. They're not going to relitigate the patient's self-assessment. Or a student whose teacher is stretched and not looking closely at every piece of work. The confidence signal is being passed along, and it's decoupled from whether the answer is right.
Just to land this, are you saying the harm distributes unevenly? That it falls hardest on people who are already the least protected?
That's it. The consequences of a confidently wrong answer don't distribute evenly. They go to the person whose judgment is least likely to be double-checked. The students, the claimants, the patients in rushed consultations, the people who are already working in systems where no one has time to question the answer they've brought in.
And then there's the productivity argument, which I want to come back to, because that's where I feel the most resistance. The case for these tools is same worker, faster output. You're saying that case looks different from here.
Well, here's the thing. If accuracy falls while volume rises, what you're measuring as productivity might actually be the substitution of fast, confident, wrong answers for slower, right ones. Or, and this matters, for slower, I don't knows, which are frequently the correct answer. Saying I don't know, let me find out, is often better than a fluent, confident, wrong answer. The productivity number doesn't capture that trade.
So the error gets transferred
to whoever has to live with it downstream. The person or institution that would have caught the mistake no longer catches it, because the confident answer never signaled there was a mistake to catch. That's the transfer.
What does it mean for how these systems should be built? Because you go there in the piece.
The implication isn't subtle, actually. If the system's outputs strip users of their uncertainty signal, the system has to put that signal back. That means making "I don't know" a real output. Not something the product roots around because hedging tests badly with users. It means surfacing where sources disagree rather than blending them into one fluent paragraph. None of that is technically hard. It's a product choice. And right now, the product choice cuts the other way, because fluent and confident keeps people engaged.
Hold on. You're saying these companies know what the fix looks like and are actively choosing not to do it?
I'd put this carefully. I don't think it's a conscious decision in a boardroom. I think it's that confident, complete-sounding answers test better, ship faster, and keep users coming back.
Those incentives don't require anyone to decide to cause harm. They just push product development in the wrong direction consistently.
And for regulators?
Regulators are currently asking whether these systems are accurate.
That's not quite the right question, or at least it's an incomplete one. The right question is whether the system, in the hands of the people who actually use it, produces better decisions than those people would have made without it. On this evidence, and yes, it's one preprint, one model, one task setting, not yet peer-reviewed. But on this evidence, for ChatGPT-style advice, the current answer is no.
Where does that leave us? Because I came into this conversation broadly sympathetic to the productivity case, and I'm finding it harder to hold.
Honestly, the risk we haven't named clearly enough is not that the machines are sometimes wrong. It's that using them appears to make the humans stop noticing. A society where a large share of everyday judgments are made by people who've quietly lost the ability to feel unsure? That's a different society. And the deployments are already going in schools, in clinics, in government-facing systems. The experiment is running.
So, to close it out, what's the one-line version?
The machines aren't the ones who stop knowing they might be wrong. We did.
Aura, that's where it has to end. That's our Human Consequences editor on a new study examining what AI advice does to human certainty. The piece is on EVC, dated the 18th of July, 2026. More tomorrow.